You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, and you know that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. It was late evening, March 6th, 1896. Inventor Charles B. King climbed into his horseless carriage, fired up the engine, and drove from St. Antoine to Jefferson and then turned north on Woodward Avenue, hitting a top speed of 7 miles an hour before the battery died. The 28-year-old King thus became the first person in Michigan to design, build, and drive an automobile. Here now is the state archivist from the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Mark, welcome back.
Great to be back.
And from the Henry Ford Museum of American Innovation, pleasure to welcome the curator of transportation back to Stateside. Hey, Matt Anderson, how are you doing?
Hey, very good. Thank you.
Mark, first, tell us about Charles King's early life, and particularly, how did he come to make Michigan his home?
He was the son of John Haskell King and Matilda Davenport. John King was from New York. Matilda was actually from Detroit. And he was born in 1868 on Angel Island in California. And he was born out west because his dad was a career military man and a successful Civil War officer. And as is often the case for those successful Civil War officers, he wound up in the Western campaigns after the Civil War. So that's why he was born out in California. And as his dad rose through the ranks in his military career, they moved back east to New York and D.C. And don't know a whole lot about his childhood other than that he was clearly precocious and intelligent. And he was accepted to Cornell University to study mechanical engineering. And then in the early parts of his career at Cornell, his father passed away in 1888. And so we see Charles and his mother, Matilda, move to Detroit around 1889. He doesn't finish at Cornell, and he picks up a job as a draftsman in the Michigan Car Company in Detroit, which at the time was one of the leading railroad car company manufacturers in the country.
All right, then it's a very relatable story that, you know, a father dies, mother's from Detroit. All right, let's go back to where we have a base of family. And before coming up with this automobile he drove, Charles King was a pretty prolific inventor, correct, Mark?
Yeah, so he didn't finish college, but he managed to exhibit two patents at the 1893 World's Columbia Exposition. So he had one for a pneumatic hammer that was used in riveting, and another for a steel brake beam, which is used in railroad cars. So that one's, you know, he was working for the Michigan Car Company, so that's not surprising. But it's pretty amazing that here's this 20-something exhibiting patents at the exposition. And incidentally, he's walking around the exposition and stumbles across an exhibit for a self-propelled carriage by some guy named Gottlieb Daimler.
And so, Matt, take that up and pick up that thread and take us further into how Charles B. King became involved in this new thing, the automobile.
Yeah, Mark is absolutely right. He's there manning a booth at the Columbian Exposition in Chicago, where he's exposed to the state of the art in all forms of science and technology, and has a chance to explore some of these early self-propelled vehicles. He looks at some of the gasoline engines, and he's inspired to get into the business and try and build one himself to see if he might build an automobile. So that was it.
You know, you're telling this story, and it truly is something that you could see happening with a smart entrepreneur in 2019.
You could, yeah. And this is an example of being in, you know, just the right place at just the right time, being exposed to all of these ideas. And it was the perfect setting for inspiration to spark. And King was the kind of person who had the background and had the kind of personal inclination to follow up on those ambitions and make something of them.
So here we are, March 6, 1896, and he makes this drive from St. Antoine to Jefferson and then heads north on Woodward Avenue. And Matt, during that first test drive of this gasoline-powered horseless carriage, there was a very intrigued man belting along behind King on a bicycle, a pretty new invention in itself. And who was that man?
Yeah, there was a lanky fellow there with a mustache riding along, and his name was Henry Ford, who, of course, we would recognize. And Ford and King were actually friends. They had met about 1893 or so. They both frequented a machine shop near the office where King was working, and they got to talking about their own mutual interest in automobiles, and I guess you might say they're, you know, two of the first people who bonded over cars, but their acquaintance bloomed into a real friendship.
And am I correct, Mark, did Henry Ford actually kind of look at King as kind of a mentor?
I look at King and Ford, and I sort of see visions. Matt can agree or disagree, but I see Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. I mean, and I think King's more Wozniak than Jobs. He was the visionary. He was the early adopter. And a lot of times in these stories, you know, the person that has that vision and is inspired and does a lot of the vision work and a lot of the inventing isn't the one that takes it across the finish line. And that seems to be the case here, because he also hung out with guys like Ransom Ohls. So you see this mixture of him mentoring these people. Ohls, you know, is credited with inventing the assembly line. Mm-hmm. Ford perfected it. And I think the same is true with some of these early automobiles. He did a lot of the early legwork, and these guys listened to him and then took it forward.
Because, am I correct, Mark? King did start his own car company, but none of us are driving Kings. We're driving Fords in 2019. Yeah. So something must have not turned out as he'd hoped.
Well, it's interesting because he didn't immediately start a car company. Here he was, the Daimler thing knocked his socks off, and he came back and really had a prototype ready in 1895. It just wasn't ready. He drives it around the streets before Ford or Ohls does. But then from there, doesn't start a company. He becomes lead engineer for Ohls Motor Works in Detroit, and then that plant burns, so he leaves, and then he helped design a two-cylinder car called the Northern Silent, which was made by the Northern Manufacturing Company. It was probably silent because it only had two cylinders. And then he visits Europe for a couple years to study design, and then comes back in 1910 to start the King Motor Car Company. And the company unveiled a bunch of firsts at the New York Auto Show in 1912, and he left the company that same year, incidentally taking over 40 patents with him. And then later, King Motors was absorbed by Studebaker, so maybe someone's driven a King by proxy if they had a Studebaker.
There you go, and I hate to say, and I am old enough to remember Studebakers on the road. Hey, Mac, tell us some of the innovations that Charles King gave to the American automobile.
Yeah, King always seemed to be a step ahead of others in designing and building his automobiles. The Northern had a shaft drive at a time when a lot of cars still had chain drives to the rear wheels. The left-hand steering, which was mentioned, Northern was sort of a pioneer in adopting that. And then the King later would also use left-hand steering. So certainly Charles King was one of the first to do that. The Northern had a three-point suspension, which was also fairly advanced for the time. So he was really quite ahead of the game. And I think Mark gets to the point, too. The King is a fascinating individual. He's really sort of a Renaissance man. He's an engineer, an architect, an artist, a musician, a writer, all of these things. The only skill he doesn't seem to have, apparently, is just business acumen. It never quite works out for him in any of his various auto endeavors.
And wasn't King's company, his car, weren't they the first with actually a V8 engine that actually was practical and worked?
That's right. Yeah, they introduced a V8 in the King in December of 1914, which would be just a few months after Cadillac, but the King would have been a less expensive vehicle, so you could call it one of the very first popularly priced V8s.
Didn't they market that as the practical V8 as opposed to, I don't know, Cadillac's impractical V8?
I guess so. That's right.
Well, we stop and we think about the fact that Charles B. King was one of the first people inducted into the Automotive Hall of Fame. You look back more than a century after that first gasoline-powered drive through Detroit. Matt, how do King's accomplishments hold up?
Well, I think the good thing about King, even though he didn't have the success of Henry Ford or even Ransom Ohls for that matter, the fact is he did live long enough to see his achievements and accomplishments recognized. He was still alive in 1946, along with Ohls and Ford, to be celebrated in what was called Detroit's Golden Jubilee of the automobile when they celebrated the 50th anniversary of King's and Ford's 1896 runs. So I think that's the happy ending, such as it is with the story of King. But he is rightfully remembered for his pioneering role in automotive industry, if not quite as well remembered as some of the others.
Marking the 123rd anniversary of Charles B. King's first gasoline-powered drive in Michigan, happening on this day in 1896. Great big thanks to Matt Anderson, Curator of Transportation at the Henry Ford Museum of American Innovation, and of course to State Archivist with the Michigan History Center, Mark Harvey. Always great talking history with you. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.